Thank you. My the sunlight of another beautiful Sabbath morning. Such a great blessing every time we wake up to a new day. The day that God has given us, the day that we spend, especially on the Sabbath day, song, praise, and adoration of our God. We should praise Him every day. You realize, Lord, we have God given us to get us still. We should thank God for the blessing of that day. We should thank Him that we're enabled with health and strength to be able to work. Such a great privilege to have these preaching brethren with us. So wonderful. God has given them a mind to come and be with us this morning. And we do thank God for them. I'm going to let them make the own arrangements of who comes first. I'm going to try to introduce the service. That you will pray with us for one another. Pray most of all that the Spirit of God be with us this morning, that you might be able to rejoice in the Savior's love once again. Minds might be illuminated on things, on heaven and heavenly divine things. And I hope we've come for no other purpose but to worship God in spirit and in truth. We know that there's much sickness over this land and country. Sister Langham is going to hospital and went for operation for the Langham. Postponed his day for a little while. They do send us word to the church to pray for him. Also, our deacon over to Stuart, his wife's brother passed away. Funeral will be in March, 2 o'clock, now funeral home in Stuart. So pray for those lost loved ones, those sick and affected. We know that many over this land and country. And now we should thank God that we are able, His grace and His mercy, to gather together this morning. Love, sing the song of Zion, pray, and preach. And we, first of all, that we might glorify God, which is in heaven, and the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the edifying of the body of Christ. I feel so unworthy to even come in this morning of such a great of people. Part of lips, not a name that's so sovereign. We can't realize the sovereignty of our God and the mercy of our God. How He just blessed us so wonderful being able to come and worship Him in spirit and in truth. How little we realize and know will happen. We're not thankful enough. I was saying, let's sing the first two and the last verse of this.
Brethren, we have met to worship and praise Lord, the Lord our God. Will you pray? Ah!
together. And we hope that heaven is blessed in Christ and worship him in spirit and in truth. We want you to feel at home here. Brothers and sisters, we need you. Here most times, but even one thing, we miss them. Thank God for the blessing. Thank you.
Just go and see what condition people are in this life. But to this, but there was one man that in these lay a great multitude of infant folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, I never have understood, and I've never talked with anybody that understood exactly what this moving of the water was, Brother Belton. I wish somebody, if there's anybody here that knows, I wish you'd tell me just exactly what this means by the moving of the water. I don't know. But anyway, there was an angel went down at a certain season, and troubled, it says, troubled the waters, and whosoever that went in, the first person that went in after these waters were troubled, then he was healed of all of his disease. You know, we have faith healers today. They claim to be faith healers, and we've even got some now that claim that they can raise the dead. Brother, they're false prophets, and I'm not afraid to stand up here and tell you they're false prophets. That's all where they are. And you know, I thought about it here lately. It's no wonder the scripture says in the latter days will come false teachers, false prophets, and false deceivers, and will deceive the very elect apostle, brethren and sisters. We're living in that very day today when all these false deceivers and false prophets are here. I don't want to preach on that this afternoon, but this morning, but it takes all afternoon to get through with it. But anyway, and lay a great multitude, and whosoever, well, the first person that stepped into these waters after that the waters were troubled was healed of all of his disease. He wasn't healed just of a part of his disease, but he was healed of all of it. You know, I've heard tell some of these faith healers that they say, well, you can be healed if you've got the faith, and it'll take you a time now to be healed with all your infirmities, but if you just got enough faith, but you know that's not the way it is. It tells us here they were healed of all their infirmities. But the thing of it said there was a certain man there which had an infirmity 38 years. Now there was a certain man there, not just any man, but there was a certain man, Brother Belton, there that had an infirmity for 38 years, and Jesus knew that he had been in that condition for a long time. In other words, he knows all things. There's nothing hid from him. He knows all things. He knows even the very secret intents of your mind and your thoughts this morning, brethren and sisters. We may hide from men and we may hide from each other. I might hide even from some things from my wife, but you can't hide from God Almighty, because he knows it all, brethren. It's a thing that gets open and naked. And any time you try to hide and cover up something, you would have to tell one lie to cover up another. Brethren, I didn't mean to get on all this this morning, but that's the truth of the matter. But anyway, there was a certain man there, and he had infirmity for 38 years. You know, that's longer than many people have lived in this life. You know, right now, people are living, well, in the first beginning, they people live a long life. Some people live to be over 900 years old, but you know, many people, there was a time in life when people didn't live to be much more than 38 or 40 years old. So this man has been in this condition. I don't know whether he's been in this condition from his birth or not, but anyway, he's been in this condition for 38 years, and he's laying there at this pool, and the poor man was helpless, and he couldn't get into the pool. And you know, Jesus, and Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been in a long time in this case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Now you know this sounds like a foolish question that Jesus would ask this man that was laying there and couldn't move, just to ask him if he'd be made whole. But you know, Jesus knew all the time he wanted to be made whole, but he just asked him this question to draw him out, so as to speak. So therefore, he asked him, wilt thou be made whole? And his answer was, he said, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the water, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. What a pitiful state, what a pitiful condition that this man was in. He couldn't get into the water, even though when the water was troubled. Yet he was waiting there, but when the water was troubled, he couldn't even get in by himself with somebody else. Has that been your case in life? Have you ever felt yourself to be a cripple? Have you ever felt yourself to be a lost, ruined, undone creature and couldn't do a thing in the world about it other than just to fall down on your knees and cry, God, be merciful to me, a poor sinner? That's the sinner's prayer. And that's the prayer that I have tried to pray many times in my life, and I still try to pray that prayer. I've never got above feeling that I was a sinner. But anyway, this man, he said, I have no man to put me in when the water's troubled. He was in a sad shape. But you know, Jesus told him, he said to the man, he said, Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Just rise. You don't have to get into that food. Just rise and take up your bed and walk. I want to declare to you, back to the faith healer, when Jesus healed, all he had to do was just say, rise. What all he had to do, because the man was been dead 4 years, he just had to call him and he come forth. There's nothing impossible with God. All things are impossible with us, but there's nothing impossible with God. He can raise the dead. He can heal the sick. He can give sight to the blind. He did many times on over the 9th or 10th chapter here where he can give sight to the blind. But anyway, he called him, he said, rise. Take up thy bed and walk. Just simply rise. What power that he had, brothers and sisters. This makes me think about back over in the book of Ezekiel, probably the 16th chapter of Ezekiel, and we could spend an hour on that. Do you really remember how the little child, baby, was born over there and had no what to do, swatted, even his neighbor wasn't cut, the string wasn't cut, and all those things, and was cast out into open field, and no one to care for it. And when Jesus come by, he said, I saw thee polluted in thy blood, and in other words, he was polluted in his blood, he followed the Amorite, his mother, Hittite, and all those things, brothers and sisters. We're born in sin, and David said we was conceived in sin and brought forth in iniquity, so therefore we're in a pitiful condition towards Jesus comes along and makes us whole, and I trust that he has made me whole, brother. I realize there's still sin in this whole body. There'll be sin in this whole body till I pass from this life. But brothers and sisters, I'm so thankful that Jesus has come along. I certainly believe, and I certainly believe he's come along and touched me. I certainly believe that he's going to awake me from the dead state of sin and give me life in Jesus Christ, brother. But anyway, he said, he said, rise and take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. On the same day was the Sabbath. So this man was similar to that man in Ezekiel. But when Jesus passed by, he told him, he said, it was a time of love. And brethren, what a time of love it is when Jesus comes by. And like Brother Belkin said, you know, I've been very busy this week. My wife and me have been running around quite a bit. But you know, it was such a pleasure to come into this building this morning and hear the songs of Zion saying, brother, we can get out of here into this world and we can. I know there's some enjoyment in all these things, but it doesn't take place of the worship of God, brothers and sisters. There's nothing on the top side of earth. I don't care if you have $40 million, brothers and sisters. It will buy you peace that you can have when you come into a little place like this. I don't care. Well, in other words, I do care, but I'd love to see the house full. But brothers and sisters, even though the house is not full, even if the scripture tells me, first, two or three are gathered together in my name. Not where we gather ourselves, but where two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst of that flesh. So don't get too scared about being a little flock. You know, Jesus spoke about the little flock. Now I'm not getting into that. But he told him, he said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And the man took up his bed and walked. And you know, it was on the Sabbath day. And it was against the Jewish law in those days for a man to do anything. You know, they even stoned one man to death for gathering sticks on Sunday, brother. That law was strict. You couldn't keep that law to save your life. They didn't keep it. Because it was a continuance of that thing every year. And the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies and all that, which is another sermon. But anyway, he took up his bed and walked. And you know, those Jews were so self-righteous. And we've got so many self-righteous people today that I don't know, brothers and sisters, it's really getting ridiculous. But anyway, those Jews were so self-righteous. They were so strict with that law that they accused Jesus. Jesus healed, and he didn't do many things on the Sabbath day, and they would accuse him every time for it. But you know, this man, he didn't mind. They could accuse him all they wanted to because that man had been healed. And he rose up and he took up his bed and walked. There was a man that couldn't even walk. He couldn't even get in the pool. But yet still when Jesus told us to rise, take up that bed and walk, he rose up and they didn't only walk, but he took his bed and walked with it, brothers and sisters. Oh, the power of God Almighty. Oh, what a power. What a power. And anyway, he took his bed and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. But I said they criticized Christ for healing, all those things on the Sabbath, but this man didn't mind the Sabbath. He didn't mind if he was breaking the Jewish law. He just, well, all he wanted to do was rise and walk, and no doubt he shouted it. And as he walked, no doubt he shouted and praised God. And you know, it's no wonder that David said in the, so many times in the Psalms, he said, he started off his Psalms with praise ye the Lord. He then end many of them with praise the Lord. Some he'd start with praise the Lord and end with praise the Lord. And the very last Psalm, he said, let everything, said, praise ye the Lord, to let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So brothers and sisters, you know, sometimes I do a lot of complaining. I've done too much complaining in my life. But you know, sometimes I always think I just ought to stop and turn around and look at myself and look at the blessings of God and bless. But you know, brothers and sisters, I've thought about it so many times. If I had 10,000 done, I couldn't put them into praise to God like I ought to for the many mercies and the many blessings. You know, I know what it is to go through with depression in this life. You know, some people talk about depression and all those things. I know what it is to go through depression as far as natural is concerned and otherwise, brothers and sisters, and it's not no, that's not no fun in it. No, it's not no fun in it. But I just thank God that He spared me to this time and enabled me to come out this morning to a little place like this. Even if we get down to two or three brothers, I'd rather be here than to be out there among the world with their stained glasses and with their cathedrals and all those things, brothers. Well, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I've got faith, but just recently. This week, I've done some dealing with a man that's a Presbyterian minister, and you know, it was a Saturday morning, we were talking there, and he said to me, he said, have you got your sermon ready for tomorrow? And I said, well, I'm supposed to speak tonight, tomorrow, both. And brother said, you know, that's how they are. They think you've got to write you out a sermon, all those things, and get them ready. But you know, I'm not going to say anything against a man who takes a few notes. I'm not going to be that contentious. If he wants to, I know some of it does. But anyway, if he wants to, that's his business. But anyway, we should have just been contentious. But what I'm trying to say is, God is the great physician. Brother Feldman, he's the great physician. He's the great healer. And he's the one to heal. He's the one. And he's the one that we should be praising this morning. And I do praise him with all the abilities I have. And I hope and trust from here on out, I'll try to praise him more than I have in the past. There's another hour in it, but I'm going to pray.
Now, Elder Bolton with Home Church. Praise God. It's not for the Lord rest of them.
Thankful to be here this morning. Truly now, here to preach. Thankful to be here. Glad to see you all again. I'd like to take up and continue on where Elder Walker was. That's what's been on my mind, seemingly fits in with that. A man here, he spoke about people who claim to be faith healers in this day, and not just in this day, but from many days past. Not only do we have people who claim to be able to heal through faith in the flesh, but also some who claim to fail, the failings of the flesh. They see all the problems of that, but they also claim to be able to heal the soul and the spirit. Some even so far, and they will never say this, they'll never come down and say, well, I can save you, but that's what the intent of it is. Or they say that you can save yourself, and some will say that, if you do this or you do that. But I find that my case, and evidently Brother Walker finds his case is, that I could not save myself, and he couldn't save himself. We are like an infant man. We have no feet with which to walk, no eyes that we can see, but yet we have a Savior. And we have, if we have any salvation, then we have been saved by Him. Similarly, like that man, there are some out here in the world that would set up a rule or set up some kind of law, even as Jews had certain laws that were not come from the Lord, and they were not given by Moses, who was inspired to give many interpretations and many things of the law. But they decided what they would be able to profit in, decided what they would be able to move things in to keep things going in Israel. That is, they were going to institute their own ways and their own decisions. And who was going to question them? We have here a man who was sometimes like the sinner who is troubled. He sees, we might say, a matter of salvation. If there was a salvation in this, in the flesh, and they were healed from diseases after the angel had come to trouble the waters. But there's a necessary part here, and there's a point here that's important to us to see that there are things out here in the world that there is salvation, and we have certain things that the Lord has given us as far as our bodily nutrition, as far as a degree of exercise of the body, and certain other things that we could go on to, like medicine, things like that. But as far as saving us and saving our soul, and eventually, and the ultimate end, saving this flesh, this body which Christ has redeemed, only Christ can do it. Of all these people that have been saved, this man was just as saved as anyone that ever stepped into that fountain. He didn't have a preacher there. He didn't have someone to lead him down in the water. He wasn't. And this, I don't think, is so much talking about, doesn't have that much to do, and I'm not sure you can get anything out of it as far as baptism. We find here that this man was saved.